So you guys ready? Open with me to Psalms 103 and verse 3. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your word. I thank you that you hear me when I pray. I thank you that you hear these people when they pray. I thank you that right now you're moving on people in their spirits and that they will hear from you tonight. Their lives will never be the same, and hindrances that might have been there for years are going to be removed and are being removed right now. I thank you, Holy Ghost. You are the operator. You are the one that comes in and heals us and delivers us in the mighty name of Jesus. We love you, Holy Ghost. Thank you for teaching us and helping us in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Shoo. Let's begin in verse 1, because I can. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Are you forgetting some of the benefits of God? Some of the benefits of God, one of them is healing, isn't it? Well, he's going to tell you that in a minute. He says, don't forget any of his benefits, and then he goes and enumerates many of them, right? But if we're forgetting some of them, well, maybe we won't be partaking, will we? Look at this. What's the first one? Who forgives all thine iniquities? He forgives all your iniquities, number one. Then he does what? He heals all of your diseases. Which order did he do it in? He forgave first. Forgiveness, obviously, is key then to healing. You on the same path with me? Don't get too far ahead of me here. Just slow down the train. Forgiveness and healing go together over and over and over and over and over and over. Everybody say over and over. Forgiveness and healing go together. They're like peas in a pod. Forgiveness and healing. What does he forgive you of? Your sins. Isn't that good? He forgives you of your sins, and we've already gone through this. That's he's taking out the root cause of all sickness and disease. He removes the sin, and once the sin's gone, sickness has no dominion over you anymore. It has to leave. Has to. Has no authority to be there anymore. Now, some people will allow it to be there, but that's their problem. I'm sorry. You got to demand that thing to leave. By the same token, you demand sin to leave your body or your mind or anything else. You demand it. Right now, you can go out and commit sin if you want, or you can commit righteousness. It's up to you. Keep sinning too much. Jesus said, sin no more, lest a worse thing come on you. He was connecting the two, sin and sickness. So forgiveness and healing go together. Sin and sickness, forgiveness and healing. Which side do you want to be on? Choose life. Choose the forgiveness. Right? The forgiveness. What are you going to choose? Jesus already paid the price. Receive forgiveness. But unfortunately, or fortunately, I don't know how to say it, it goes deeper than that. If you forgive somebody, I mean, if God forgives you, you've got to forgive people like God forgave you. It's part of what we're called to do and commanded to do. So do you think unforgiveness then could be something that retains sin in your life? If you're supposed to forgive people as Christ forgave you, and you're supposed to forgive people that sin against you, and you're not forgiving them, then somehow you're retaining some sin in your life, which can keep sickness there, if not be the root cause of it. I'm convinced there's the root cause of a lot of sins that come on people after years of bitterness and holding on to resentment and strife and blah. Just eat away at them like a cancer. So what do you think is the root? What is the way to get rid of that type of sickness out of somebody? To forgive. Then that sin no longer has a root. Then the sickness no longer has a legal hold. All right. Glory be to God forever. Mark chapter 2. I'm going to make this painfully clear. Painfully. Yes, painfully clear. Hallelujah. and then you can be healed in the next verse. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 2 and verse 10. Are you excited about this? You should be excited about this. Anything that's hindering you from receiving all the blessings of God, forget not any of all his benefits, something that's hindering you, you want to know about it. Right? You haven't forgiven Uncle Joe? Forgive Uncle Joe. Why? Because it may be the last hindrance that's keeping you from being healed and receiving the full manifestation. Chipping away at this stone, it might be the last thing, the last straw. You should be excited about it. You find out any new thing, anything new that might be hindering. Well, let's figure that out. Let's get rid of it. Right? Because I'm telling you, once all the hindrances are gone, what's hindering you? Isn't that what the Ethiopian said to Philip? What's hindering me from being saved, baptized right now? Well, nothing. There's some water. What would have hindered him in the desert? No water. Once the hindrance is removed. All right. See, I'm trying to keep this slow. I've slowed down a lot. Can't you tell? Man, I used to preach. I'd listen to some of the earlier times when I preached. Man, goodness gracious. Just slow down. Take a breath every once in a while. So I tried to do that. Hallelujah. We didn't even read that yet. Glory be to God. Mark 2 and verse 10. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to... What? The Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way to thy house. And immediately he arose and took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, what did he do? He healed somebody. Does forgiveness and healing go together? So unforgiveness and sickness are like buddies, and forgiveness and healing are buddies. They're like best of pals. You like healing? Well, you're going to have to like forgiveness a lot. You should be the most forgiving. I should just go slap every one of you. We'll have a forgiveness service. Because that's just rude. And, oh, I can't believe. Oh. And then we get to practice forgiving. What kind of service did you go to? Oh, a slapping service. We practiced forgiving one another. You're like, well, let us slap you then. Give you some practice. Wait, no, I'm one and you're many. So that wouldn't be fair. But I'd be really good at forgiveness by the end of that. Glory be to God. You got that, right? Forgiveness and healing go together. Unforgiveness and sickness go together. If Jesus didn't say to this man, I forgive you, would he have gotten healed? No, he would not have. So they go together. All right. Lest I beat up that anymore. I was slapping that verse. Hallelujah. James 5:14. I'm trying to make this so that this is something you're seeing as a good thing and not a bad thing. You know, you hear about a message like this. That's why I want to preach on Job, because I knew I could jump up and down on it. But you take a message like forgiveness. People go, uh-oh. They immediately start thinking, well, did I forgive Uncle so-and-so? Did I forgive my dog for peeing on the carpet? Did I forgive, you know, right? You do that. As soon as you saw that up there, forgiveness, uh-oh, I better figure it out. Oh, I know, but you got to see it as a good thing. See it as a good thing, because at the end, other side of forgiveness, it's a way to have something. What's forgiveness of debt? That's a good thing if you're in debt. Is it a good thing if somebody owes you something? Well, that's when you go, well, I don't know. It's equally as good. Yeah. I could take you to a scripture there, but I didn't. Right before it says, given, it shall be given unto you, there's a forgiveness scripture right in front of that. Forgive debts as you've been forgiven. Hallelujah. You should go lend somebody some money and then just forgive them just for the heck of it. Just to do it. Tell you what, I'm going to lend you this $100 or whatever it is. For some of you, it's $100,000. And then let them work on it a while and then just forgive them. Hallelujah. Because that's what God does he not? I'll take you to scriptures on that. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Are we there yet? James 5 and verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Why are those two things together? Because they go together. Thank you, wonderful wife. They go together. Forgiveness and healing. Why would they, you know, is this just some weird anomaly, brother? In the realm of the word that he says it over and over and over and over again. Forgiveness and healing. Forgiveness and healing. We should have forgiveness lines. Let's have a forgiveness line. I will lay my hands on your head and you can forgive me. Do you forgive? It's forgiveness is an opportunity, people. It's just like repentance. It's not a bad thing. It's an opportunity for you to get free. Do you know how many people are bound up by the person isn't even thinking about it anymore? You're driving down the road. We'll use just a light illustration. You're driving down the road. Somebody cuts you off. Cuts you off. And you just get irate over it. Ah! How could that person cut me off? How inconsiderate. Well, let me tell you something. Do you think that person's even thinking about it anymore? They're just driving off down the road, talking on their cell phone or whatever they're doing, which is probably why they cut you off in the first place. But you, it messed you up. You're like, I can't believe it. People, are not, I don't know how to drive anymore. Out of state people and Canadians or whatever it is, you know, come down here and can't drive. Women or old people or I don't care what it is, teenagers. But who here has the problem now? You do. It threw you off. You were before. You're probably singing a praise song. Oh, I thank you, Lord. And breathe, right? Now all of a sudden they cut you off and now you're singing a praise song? No, you're, damn them. Damn them. What are you, flip-flop Christian? Knock it off. Forgive them right away. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for you to stay in the Spirit and walk in love. Hallelujah. You should look for opportunities for people to cut you off just so you can forgive them. Drive a little more slowly. No. Look for opportunities to forgive. Look for places to be a peacemaker. We should be the forgiveness bunch of people that there is, just ready to forgive, ready to forgive. Ready to forgive. Do you forgive me for saying that one too many times? No? Hallelujah. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him. Is this scripture? Is this what God does? This is what he does. He saves sick people, which is not just their souls. Because he goes on to explain it, thank God, because people would misinterpret that. That just means the Lord will save sick people's souls. Sick people's souls. I forgive you for correcting me, young lady. Hallelujah. The Lord saves sick people by raising them up. And if he has committed sins, they shall be... If. You don't even know if he is. If they have, he will forgive him. Here's where you have something to do. Look at the next verse. Verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. What do you think you're confessing to one another? Right, but it even goes deeper than that. Yep, but even deeper than that. It goes into the sins that you commit against each other. You don't have to come and confess your sins to me of what you did that had nothing to do with me. But if I did something to you that might have offended you or hurt you or something, I have to come to you and confess, well, I did something. I shouldn't have done that. I was an idiot. You forgive me? Yes, you forgive me, right? That's what he's saying here. Confess your faults to one another. Confess your faults to one another. Confess your fault that you made to one another. Not this, we have to confess all our sins to people. And people get weird with that. They'll read it wrong and they'll go, well, I better go confess to the pastor all my former sins. Nah! La, 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 la. I don't want to hear it. No. Don't put that junk in my head. If you do something against me, come and confess and I will forgive you. If I do something wrong, right? Confess your faults that you made to one another. Forgive one another that you may be healed. Does that make sense? All right. Glory be to God. Is that good? One thing is good. You don't have to go and confess your sins to everybody. You shouldn't. Nobody wants to know that garbage. Confess it to God and get rid of it and forsake it. It's much easier for me to cover a multitude of sins that I know not about. Love will just cover it up. I got to confess a sin. No, you don't. Unless it was pertaining to me. Does that make sense? If you have a sin that pertains to somebody else, go confess to them. Get that cleaned up that you may be healed, that the relationship may be healed, that you may be physically healed because they go together. All right. Glory be to God forever. We're going to be a clean church and a healed church. Hallelujah. This is one way to keep it that way. One of the hindrances, in Jesus' name, glory be to God. Matthew chapter 6. And verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. This is in the prayer, right? The Lord's Prayer. Let me read the whole thing. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Other places call about sins, or forgive our iniquities or our trespasses to one another. And you're going to see this over and over again about your brother. Who's your mother? Who's your brother? Remember, Jesus said this. Oh, your brethren are outside. He says, no, my mother and my brethren are right here, the ones who hear the word of God and do it. They're the ones you should most be concerned about. Why? Because we got to go live with each other forever. So let's be really quick to forgive our brethren. Forgive as he's forgiven you, right? Look at this. Forgive our trespasses as we forgive our trespassers, or forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. As. Now, this is where he kind of heightens it up a little bit here. You're going to receive forgiveness to the degree that you're willing to forgive other people. You're going to retain iniquity to the degree that you don't forgive other people. And that iniquity can cause sickness and disease. So we got to be real quick. And I know, you know, I've tried to analyze my life. I've had a pretty good life and have a better life now. I don't have a lot of people just looking over my past that I have big problems with. Forgiveness. You know, some people do. Some people have been twisted and wrung out till they just, bleh. Till they're just big balls laying on the quivering floor. Right? And there's a lot of past that just has to be dealt with. And some of it is what keeps people from receiving the good things that God has for them. All the benefits. And I feel bad about that, but you know, You've got to deal with it. I have to deal with the things that I see in my life, and I have to apply my faith to them. I'm going to show you by the end of this. I don't care how big the mountain is, how big it is. It can be removed by the same seed and the same faith. And that's how you, I'll teach you, that's how you apply forgiveness. It's the same way. Why would God do it any other way? He does everything by seeds and faith and words. But now, when we're dealing with forgiveness, we have to have a soul cleansing, brother. You have to sit down and regurgitate all of your past, and we must wipe them clean. You like that? People do this. They'll give it all kinds of names where you got to come down, and this is what they call it. I don't know what they call it. Some kind of soul washing something. It's like, get away from my soul. Quit trying to wash it. You know this is true. This is what people do. They think you've got to go, and what are they trying? Then you've got to confess all this stuff up. Confess it up to a man, to people, and so really all they just want to talk about you behind your back. Oh, brother, how'd I get off into that? That's not the way we do it here. That's not the way God does it either. He, like I'm saying, he does not do anything other than this way. The same way you get saved is the same way you do forgiveness. It's the same way you get healed is by his word and faith. It's the same way you forgive people, and it's a whole lot easier than you may think. And you do it by faith, and it doesn't even really have much to do with your mind. When does God say to come into the mental realm anyway? Please. Our weapons are not carnal or mental, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. If you have a stronghold of unforgiveness, God's weapon will pull it down, and it will no longer be a hindrance. Glory be to God. Go over to Matthew 18, a couple chapters over there. Hallelujah. This is good news. Forgiveness is good news. You are forgiven. So let's freely forgive. As we freely receive, we freely give. Hallelujah. Right? Glory be to God. Matthew 18, verse 35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Liv, did I put all of that in there? Yeah, I did, from 21. Let's read that whole thing. Go back up to verse 21. And then came Peter and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? I could take that. I could do that. Then Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. What was he saying there? Is that an exact number that, you know, after that last time, you can just go and that's it. Slap him back. No, he's just using that as a bit. That's like what they call hyperbole. It means like a mile high ice cream cone or something else. It's just ridiculous. 70 times seven, that's ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, if you're going to forgive him that many times, you're committed to do it till he did it, you're going to lose count after a while, aren't you? It's about time you lost count, right? Glory be to God forever. Until 70 times 7, therefore, whenever you see the word therefore, you want to find out what it's there for. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded unto him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and the payment to be made. Well, obviously, you know, he got quite a bit out of the kids and the wife. So she was probably good looking and they were good workers. Brother. The servant therefore fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. He owed him a lot, but he said, have compassion on me. Give me some time. I'll pay it off. And the man was obviously moved and he said, okay, I forgive you the whole debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owe me. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience on me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then this lord, after he had called him, said unto him, thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Should not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I have had pity on thee? And his lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors. Ooh, it was before he's just going to be thrown into prison. But now he was delivered to the tormentors. And back then, that wasn't good. I don't think it's good now, but till he should pay all that was due him. Well, that's a long time because he was being tormented for payment. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Now, let's take this a little bit farther than you even want to go. Okay? This man, was he forgiven? So is the kingdom of God. So is the kingdom of God. Somebody got his forgiveness. Somebody got forgiveness of all his debts. All of them. So is the kingdom of God. Do we have people that have been forgiven of all their debts? Absolutely. So is the kingdom of God. You don't get into the kingdom of God unless you've forgiven people, right? Unless God's forgiven you of all your debts. Do we have people in the kingdom of God that are not forgiving their brothers the way that they've been forgiven? Unfortunately, yes. And I'm not going to say it, but the Bible does say that so will the Father do to you, the people that are in the kingdom of God, if they don't forgive them from their what? Their minds, their bodies, from their hearts. So don't get worried. I'm going to show you how to do this. From your heart, there's a way to do it. And the kingdom of God is like this. Everything comes from the heart. The kingdom of God is as if a man sowed a seed where? In the ground, in the heart. And it springs up and grows greater than all the other things. Right? Forgiveness. It's good news. Now, I'm not going to take it that far in theology, but Jesus obviously wasn't afraid to, because that's what he was doing. He's saying, if you're entering into the kingdom of God and you're in the kingdom of God and you don't forgive your brother, then you could be in danger of hellfire and torments. And he said that in other places. I know people don't like that because that's really not seeker friendly. That's really not once saved, always saved. But you won't have to worry about it if you just keep following God. Okay? So if you don't forgive your brother from your heart, then you're in danger of this. So we've already narrowed it down to where we got to forgive. Not from your mind. And you may have really problems with forgiving people in your mind. It's just not right. It's not right what he did. Your sense of natural judgment and justice has been defiled. How could it be? Such one should not live. Let's stone them. And maybe that's true. But from your heart, you must be willing to forgive. There's another element here that I'm going to bring up. Although I'm in danger of walking on people's toes, but that's where I prefer to be, by the way. So let's go over to Luke. Luke 17:3-6. Hallelujah. Forgiveness is great. I've been forgiven, and I like, do you, anybody like being forgiven? Isn't it great? Let's say, I don't know, have you ever had to go into your dad's office? That's where I would get my spankings. And you never wanted it, even if you did something wrong, you know, and if you explained something to them, well, you blah, blah, and all of a sudden he let you go. Forgiveness is good, right? Well, we have to forgive other people the same way. It's good. They're going to think it's good too. I forgive you. It's okay. I forgive you. Luke chapter 17. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And verse 3. Take heed to yourselves. Who's he talking to? You? Who's he talking to? He's talking to you. Yes. I see that too fast. Who's he talking to? You. Take heed to yourself. Why does Jesus say take heed to yourself? Because he wants you to pay attention here, and he says you got to do this. If this is important, take heed to yourself. It's something you can do, something you have control over. Take heed to yourself. If your brother trespasses against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. Everybody say, if. Yeah. If he repents, forgive him. You need to be ready at any moment to forgive anybody of anything, anytime, any place, anywhere, anyhow, from your heart, because that's who you are. Well, what about the other side of the coin? This person, and even the other illustration, the person came back 70 times 7 and asked for forgiveness. If he asked for forgiveness, how can you forgive somebody if they don't ask for forgiveness? Does God forgive you if you don't ask for forgiveness? So people walk around, oh, I got to forgive. Yeah, you forgive if somebody asks for forgiveness. I'm just telling you the Bible here, okay? Don't get religious. People get religious over this. Oh, no, I must forgive everybody. Are they asking for forgiveness? No, we're supposed to forgive as God in Christ forgave us. Is this not true? Is he ready to forgive anybody, anytime, anywhere? They just have to utter the words, please forgive me. And what does he do? Wham! Just like magic from heaven. Forgives them. They could be the most blatant, ridiculous criminal on the face of this earth. And they're just, wah, forgiven. Brand new person. What happened to you? I don't know. My sins are forgiven. I'm a new person. I feel so good. Why? Because you were forgiven. What about people who don't come to you for forgiveness? Is the exchange complete? Are you ready to forgive them? Oh, yes. Can you forgive them? You have to be ready to, but the forgiveness is not, the transaction has not taken place yet. You know what's almost evil on the other side is forgiving someone when they haven't done something? They don't even know what it is? Let's say I think that you did something wrong to me, and I come up and say, but you don't think so, you just thought you were just doing what was right. And I go, well, I forgive you for that. But you think you're right. What just happened there? It's almost disgusting to think about it. The person's gonna, you're forgiving me. It's almost like an anti-unforgiveness thing. It doesn't make any sense. You're forgiving something of something they haven't repented of. It does not make, am I making any sense at all? There's something really wrong with it. It's almost manipulative. It's religious and controlling. I forgive you. I forgive you. Isn't it? Isn't it? I forgive you guys. Because I'm superior. As you can tell by the way I talk. I forgive you all. Of what? Oh, your disgustingness. Right? There's something really wrong with that. And that's the way people read these verses and they say, oh, that's the way we must be. We must forgive everybody. No, you do not have to. What, brother? The pastor told me I didn't have to forgive. You forgive everybody, anytime, any place, anywhere, anyhow, if they ask you for forgiveness. And you are ready because that's who you are and that's what you do. But if they don't ask for forgiveness, how are you, how's the, forgiveness is a two-way street. It's available. Okay, take that, do whatever you want to do with it. There you go. It's a condition of the heart. You're ready to forgive. I'm talking about brothers and sisters specifically in Christ. Okay, this is the kingdom. So is the kingdom of God. We're in the kingdom of God. This is the main deal here. And I understand we all deal with families and other people that may be outside the kingdom of God. Well, this somehow applies when they're ready to come into the kingdom of God. We forgive them. And we do that. We know that. Uncle Billy Bob, he's been an idiot all his life. All of a sudden he comes into church, he asks for forgiveness, Jesus forgives him, heals him, makes him a new man, we all hug him and like nothing ever happened. Glory to God. What if he didn't come in? Forgiveness isn't complete. You're ready though, you are ready. I guess the transaction, it has to be between you and God, because when you just say, I forgive him, you're not going up to them and going, I forgive you for pulling in front of me in the car, right? That would just be, where were we? Luke 17, 3 through 6. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. Oh, brother. Are you serious? I guess so. If the Bible says it, this is what we got to do. Okay? Somebody who trespasses it, rebuke him. And if he's really your brother, he's going to go, thank you very much. And if he repent, forgive him. Are you reading this? Okay. If your brother trespass against you, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. You know, if you don't rebuke people, you really don't love them. You really want them to go away anyway. Am I telling the truth here? You know I am. Okay? If you love somebody, does God do this to you? Does he chasten you? Does he rebuke you if you do something wrong? He absolutely does. Are we still here? This is the same. We're supposed to be doing the same things to each other. Brother, you shouldn't have done that. That's a rebuke, right? Doesn't mean a public thing. I don't have to pull you out in front of everybody else and say, so-and-so, I rebuke you. In the name of the Lord. Now go sit in the back where you belong. No. No. If your brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. If he repent, what? Forgive him. It's pretty simple, people. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to thee saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Verse 5. Y'all there? And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. I'm telling you, this is not out of context. They knew that to do something like this was going to require faith. They were not yet born again people. You understand how this works, because you've got an inner man, and your inner man believes things that, you know, outward men don't see and understand. But you understand this. Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. What do you think Jesus is talking about? Did he just all of a sudden, his eyes glassed over, and he began to talk about fig trees and seeds? Or was he in this conversation with his disciples, and they were asking him to increase their faith concerning forgiveness? If we read it the way most people, we just take it out of context. Like Jesus just all of a sudden snapped again and went off into some other world and talked about fishermen and trees and birds and the lilies. You They were taught, he just told them that they have to forgive somebody 7 times 7. They do it over and over and over again. And they said, increase our faith. And he said, if you have faith as a seed, you'll say something. What did he tell them they were going to say? Let's go back up a verse here. Oh, brother. Oh. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him. If he trespasses against thee 7 times a day, and 7 times in a day turns again, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. What are you going to say? Thou shalt forgive him. What do you say? I forgive you. 7 times a day, you shall forgive him. I forgive you. What are you going to forgive him with? Your words? And from where did Jesus said you have to forgive somebody from? Your heart. You're going to speak words out of your spirit, man. Isn't this amazing, Patrick? How do we keep going back here? We're like a Word of Faith church. You're going to forgive this brother from your heart by speaking words that say something like this. I forgive you. I forgive you. Wonderful words to hear, by the way. Especially if you've been doing something to somebody. Writing nasty notes or something about them. Calling up people, stirring up the beehive. Or whatever. Wonderful word to say, I forgive you. In the right context, when somebody comes. It would, like I said, it'd be evil to say that to somebody. I heard that you were talking about me, and I forgive you. Brother. Oh, this stuff goes on in churches. It's disgusting. Just repulsive. We're in here laughing over a forgiveness meeting. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. You're going to say, I forgive you. The apostle said, increase our faith. The Lord said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say to the sycamore tree, or you'd say to your brother. You're going to say these words. Picked up and removed. Be picked up by the root, be planted in the sea, and it should obey you. What? The forgiveness. The unforgiveness, or the thing that was bothering the situation, is going to be removed and planted into the sea. Jesus said your sins will be removed and cast into the sea of forgetfulness. It's just gone. A sea of forgetfulness. And I tell you, that sea is really deep. Nobody can find it anymore. Even if they're treasure hunting. Like some person trying to dig up stuff. We've already forgiven it. And this is where it gets down to it, people. We're willing, we're ready. Our heart is ready to forgive. And when you got to forgive somebody, you're going to use those words. I forgive you. And guess what happens? Just like we know with every other thing in faith, once those words leave your mouth, were you lying? Or did it just come to pass as far as you're concerned? That forgiveness was completed when those syllables left your tongue. They are now forgiven. Well, what if they do it again? They come back and ask for forgiveness. Well, they were forgiven for the last sin. You're going to forgive them again. I forgive you. From your heart, releasing faith in those words, increase our faith, they said. What are those words now going to do? They're going to grow. He said it's going to grow like a seed. Where's it going to grow? It's going to grow in that person. It's going to grow in you. What if you don't feel like you forgave them? Since when are we moved by what we feel? We're not moved by what we feel. I forgave that person, but I feel so resentful and mean towards them. Those are feelings. And understandably so. Those are things that you need to stand in faith over. No, I don't feel that way towards them. I forgave them. According to the word, they're forgiven, just as I was forgiven. All my stupidity. They stand forgiven, I stand forgiven in Jesus' name in faith. Ha, 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 ha. And you do that, it grows. And pretty soon that overtakes the resentment and the bitterness, and you're free. It's faith. Forgiving by faith. Everybody say forgiving by faith. That's the way you do it. Why do we think it's some other way? Everything we find in the Bible is the same way. Jesus said the kingdom of God, the whole kingdom, is like a seed that you plant in the spirit, your soil of your inner man, the heart. It's the same thing, forgiveness. You want to grow in forgiveness? Practice it on somebody. that needs forgiving and has asked for forgiveness. It's not always easy, is it? Is faith always easy? Is anything that you do with God, is it always easy? Only if you do it the right way. This is much easier than the other ways we've tried to come around and figure out. Much easier this way. By faith, with words, as a seed. Glory be to God forever. From the heart. That's three things I wanted you to understand tonight. If you can get this, you got it all. You get the message. You get the whole thing. Faith. Unforgiveness. Right? And forgiveness. Let's put it that way. Forgiveness is as a seed that works by faith from the heart. Three things. Forgiveness is a seed, works by faith, and it comes from the heart. Well, is it any good if you don't plant it? Is it any good if you don't say it? Even if you don't feel like saying it and somebody asks for forgiveness. And I understand it is not always easy when you have somebody who hasn't asked for forgiveness or hasn't repented. They've just gone on their merry way being the ding-dong that they are. Well, what are you going to do with that? You're still going to use the same thing. You're going to use words and faith as a seed and say, I forgive you. Don't say it to them. Because if they didn't ask for forgiveness, it's borders on being evil. Okay? Just, I forgive you. You say it to yourself. Do you always go and confess all your other faith things to people? You shouldn't. Don't always do that. They don't know where you're coming from. They just think you're weird when you do it. Keep it to yourself, but nobody's stopping you from going in your closet and getting your Bible out and saying, I forgive Uncle So-and-so, or I forgive whoever, or whatever they did. What does that do? That faith grows up in you, in your spirit. You become established in that. And then when the day does come and they come and ask for forgiveness, you got something. You're ready for them. You just download on them a whole big truckload of forgiveness, and they don't know what happened because you were prepared. Glory be to God. Jesus is Lord. Mark 11:22. Oh my goodness. Could forgiveness be this interconnected with faith? Can forgiveness be this interconnected with healing? Is it even that possible? I am telling you, they go hand in hand. Faith and forgiveness and healing. Just like unbelief and sickness and fear. They all go together. They're like the power twins of death. Sounds like a B movie. Hallelujah. Mark 11:22. Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And, everybody say and. And when you stand praying, forgive. Could this possibly be some separate thing? It can't be, because he said, and when you're standing there praying. So we're here, we're faith people. We believe this. We believe that we pray, we believe, and we speak words, and they come to pass. And at the same time, we have to forgive. Same functionality here. If you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you your trespasses. Why would he put this there? Because this derails so many people's faith. It'll derail your faith. It'll derail your faith. You may be doing all the other things correctly, but this one hindrance will keep you out. Unforgiveness. When you stand praying, forgive. If anybody has aught against you. Right? You do that whether they ask for forgiveness or not. The transaction on their end isn't complete, though, until they come and ask for forgiveness. But when you stand praying, forgive them anyway. And like I said, don't do it to them and don't do it publicly. Come up here and pray the prayer of faith. And I forgive so-and-so, my neighbor. I'm using the lawnmower. I was trying to sleep. Glory be to God. Is this making sense to you? It's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual operation. It functions the same way. The other reason he said it this way was because this is a way that you get rid of unforgiveness in your heart and in your life. You get it out. You dig it out with what? Words. By saying, I forgive. I forgive. You say those words. You plant it like a seed. Once it's gone out, what do? You believe you receive the thing that you said. And you have the thing that you said. They're forgiven. And from that moment on, it's over. As far as you're concerned, it's over. When were you forgiven of your sins? When you confessed. When did God forgive you of your sins? Well, when you confessed, but was he ready? He'd already paid for your sins. Right? So, I mean, all the sins are paid for. So he paid the price. He's standing there. He said, he's even written it, you know. He said that all may be saved, that all may come to the knowledge of the truth. This is where he stands. This is where you stand. Glory be to God forever. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. One more and I will end. I think you've got a good grasp on this. Hallelujah. We're a forgiven bunch of people. Why? Because we're a faith bunch of people. Unforgiveness doesn't hinder us from our faith. When we stand praying, we forgive. Same moment, same operation, same seed. Hallelujah. Same place we do it from. Ephesians 4:22. Glory be to God forever. Do you believe you can do this? You believe you can forgive people? Have you thought of people that you're thinking that you gotta forgive? That you gotta use your words and your faith? Some of you do. But it's the same exact way that we do anything else by faith. You forgive them with words from your heart and you believe that those things that you said came to pass. Who gets free in this? We do. And we receive healing many times. When you forgive somebody that you've been holding a grudge over for many years, it could be the thing that's keeping you from being healed. Now, whether they receive the forgiveness is up to them, but whether you give the forgiveness is up to you. Hallelujah. Let's read this. Ephesians 4:22. And be renewed. Right? 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needs. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying or building up, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you, even as. We put all these things. He enumerated many things in here, even people stealing from other people. He said, we're parts of one another. Let him that's stealing from one of the other people, don't do it anymore. Then he says, let all evil speaking cease. Let there be no contention, evil speaking between other people. Let it end. Be kind-hearted. Love one another. Forgive one another. That's where contentions arise, is when somebody does something that somebody else didn't like. And they start talking. Right? Let's be tender-hearted and forgive one another. Even as God in Christ forgave you. Even as. Same way, same Spirit, same God, not grieving the Holy Ghost. Right? We just forgive one another. We're ready to forgive. Glory be to God forever. Well, let's end there. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. So let's do that. Let's just think about, you know, and do this by faith. If it's something, you might not want to do it right now. You might, and you might not. But don't, let's be like saying, okay, we're going to believe God for $50,000 or something. Some people aren't ready for that. Okay? And if they just release their faith then, it wouldn't be very long, and they would just fall over it. If there's something that's really been deep-seated down in there, you got to apply your faith to it. Well, how are you going to get faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's the same function in everything. This is the kingdom of God. This is how it works. You're going to be able to forgive people by faith. The apostles came up to Jesus. They said, increase our faith. If we got to forgive somebody 70 times 7, we're going to need more faith. He said, if you use a seed and you say it, it will grow. You may have to say something. Do you have to say the word sometimes over and over again? Do you? I can't tell you how many times I've said, by Jesus' stripes I was healed, or my God supplies all my need, and I plan on saying it a whole lot more until my mouth is sore. You may have to say, I forgive you. Many times to get, just build that up. I forgive. I'm a forgiveness guy from a forgiveness God. That's God's nature, right? What are you born of? God and His nature. So you can do this. This is what you do. Actually, you're better at this than anything else, than holding a grudge. I'm better at forgiveness than holding a grudge. That'd be a good confession. I'm really good at forgiveness because I'm born of God. I'm renewed in the spirit of my mind, and I forgive everybody of everything, anytime, anywhere. I'm good at forgiveness, especially people in the past. In fact, I forgot their names. Hallelujah. You can do this. You can forgive them, and I don't care what they did. Did God care what you did? No. So you shouldn't care what anybody else did. You forgive them. Why? Because they're probably not even thinking about it. You forgive them for your own sake. He said, take heed to yourself. Can't take heed to somebody else. No, you gotta come over here and ask for forgiveness. Or it's not complete. The pastor said it's not complete. You take heed to yourselves. Apply that faith to yourself. Let that thing grow in yourself. You're like a forgiveness tree with forgiveness fruit. Pluck some off of there. Hallelujah. Right? Glory be to God. Let me lead you in this confession, okay? Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for forgiving me of all my sins and of all my trespasses. I love forgiveness. I love how I feel being forgiven. And I love what you've made me. And now by faith and the words of my mouth, I forgive all people that have trespassed against me or done wrong to me in any part of my life. I forgive them now. By faith, in Jesus' name, they are forgiven. I have forgiven them. It is done.
It is over.
And I am free. And I thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. If you did that and you meant it, then I don't care what it was or who it was. They're forget, and you forgave them. You may even feel stupid, weird things in your head. Well, I still don't like them. Nobody said you had to like them. Who said you had to like them? You don't even have to hang out with them, but you have to forgive them. And if you forgave them, that's one less roadblock holding you back from anything. It can't. Just be ready to forgive all the time and do it by faith and the words of your mouth. It's the way Jesus said to do it. So you're forgiven, and that's the way we can stand forgiven. Guess what? Now your prayers are no longer hindered. Glory be to God. That's good news.
When shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord? Then shall we grow as we sow and reap from Him.
This message has been brought to you free of charge by the Metropolitan Holy Ghost Society. More messages are available online at www.holyghostsociety.org.